Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, the season ended a week ago, so there's nothing left to talk about, is there?
No, just a nice quiet time for Penn State football. We'll probably get some news in the spring, if there's an injury or something, and, see how some of the young guys progress through the winter program. But, yeah, other than that, just not much really to talk about with football. You know, we're into the winter sports season, and the spring sports seasons are just around the corner.
So it's going to be a quick show today. Not much to talk about. You know, there is absolutely no off season, and candidly, it feels like, Jeff, as soon as the season ends, that's when the news starts.
I will say, if you had told me I'd be feeling this good about Penn State football before this national championship game is even played, I would have told you you're absolutely bonkers. But I'm telling you, Jim, when you look, and yeah, there are a couple of guys that, man, you'd like to have in the fold that that won't be there. But my gosh, the overwhelming majority of guys that are back, that are, were key cogs in a Final Four run this year, and you figure are going to be very hungry and now have a better idea of exactly what it takes. It does feel like it's kind of the chips are all going into the middle of the table here on a national title run for this program next season.
And Jeff, this almost feels like the new way of college football. Ohio State, as you mentioned, they're going to be playing in the college football championship game. This a year ago, they were the story in this way. Everybody coming back, not to mention all the portal players they were bringing in. And essentially the year prior, Michigan was a very similar story. After making a run, getting to the Final Four, they brought most everybody back, and they had their national championship run. So is this just now how it's going to work in the world of NIL and the portal?
Yeah, I think to a large degree that's the case. Now, there may be some changes coming down the road in terms of kind of limiting the portal stuff. I'm curious to see how this kind of gets finalized. But I think there's going to be some parameters put in place where, either the schools that are getting the transfer portal individual are going to have to pay something to make that happen, or there's going to be something contractually that's going to make it a little tougher, I think, for folks to just jump in and out of the portal as readily as they do. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a component of it. And I think, again, we're still trying to sort our way through exactly what this new world of college football is going to look like, and college athletics in general is going to look like next year and then, for the years after. I think there's still a bunch of changes that are coming down the road, but I think largely it's going to be to try to stabilize kind of the new order of things here on the college football front.
Well, I want to get into a little bit more the whole situation at Penn State with NIL and the players and so on. But first, how about, Jeff, we talk about an old world issue. A coordinator, Tom Allen, has made the change from Penn State. He's moving on to Clemson, and it's at best, a lateral move. What's going on there, Jeff? Is this just about his family?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure that it matters a whole lot. Again, I think the track record here for James Franklin is pretty good. My preference would have been to have Tom Allen back. I think having that stabilization would be good in the coaching staff. But you sure get the feeling that Penn State didn't exactly make a huge play here to try to keep him. And so, again, I don't think it's an acrimonious breakup, but I don't think it's necessarily one that is causing a lot of angst, really, on either side. I think everybody's okay with this moving on. And the fact that, you know, I think some of the names that you're hearing out there that that James Franklin is reportedly possibly involved in ought to be reason for optimism again. And I just think the track record here of assistant coaching hires by Franklin is good. Even where they haven't worked out, I don't think there are many that would fault the thinking of the hire. And I think James Franklin, you know, one of the things I do think he does very well is learn from past mistakes. And I think, you know, he has a clear idea of what it is he's looking for personality wise, coaching style wise, and all of that. And I just, it's a critical hire, right? There's no question about that. I just have a lot of faith that whoever they end up hiring is going to be a pretty good fit. And with the talent Penn State has coming back, you know, it's not like you're going to need, you know, a creative genius. You need somebody that's going to be able to allow these guys to go play the type of football they've played the last couple of years.
You know, you talked about Penn State didn't appear to be anguishing too much over him leaving. Our colleague Andy Shea, he expressed it this way. He was talking about some of the players who have left in the portal. And he said, I don't want to say they slammed the door on their way out, but I suspect they were holding the door for him as he left.
I suspect that is the case. And I don't know anything in terms of the inside. I'm reading the rumor mill and the stories that are out there like everybody else, but it just feels like it was one of those where I don't think it was a horrible situation for anybody, Tom Allen, or for the players or for the other coaches. I also don't get the feeling that it was, man, what are we going to do without Tom Allen? I think whatever reasons led to it, and if Tom feels better about, taking a job in Clemson, being closer to family, whatever it is that goes into it, again, fine. I just think, you move on. I don't think it's anything where you have to hold grudges or wish anybody ill will. I just think, again, very quickly you need to regroup. And with everything else that's in place, Jim, I mean, the focus here is on just making the best hire you possibly can. Because, again, to me, all of the pieces, save perhaps one, are in place for a national title run here next season.
Well, and reading the tea leaves, I'm with you. It just feels like there was more to it. And I'm with you also. I don't think it was a terrible thing. If Tom Allen wanted to come back, I suspect everyone would have been okay with it. But I think they feel okay also that he has moved on. And you alluded to James Franklin's track record. And I think recently he's done a very good job in putting his staff together. And, you know, I think the last two hires at defensive coordinator have been good. One of them exceptional with Manny Diaz. You know how I feel about him. Tom Allen, I think he kept things rolling. So it's now, what's the priority, though, going forward? Is it with all these players coming back? Is it about continuity, which might lead you to believe, hey, from staff, internal, Anthony Poindexter is the name who's come up. Or, as you pointed out, this is about the best hire. And I think with Penn State's defensive tradition, they played not just going back many years, but over the last several years, the defense has been so good. I think this is a really attractive position. Do you go out and find another name, you know, Danton Lynn's name, even though several days ago I got to, well, he's never going to leave the West Coast. That conversation seems to be changing a bit. So which way do you think they're going to go?
Yeah, I think, it's interesting. I'm learning that the way I think is probably not the right way to think. It is probably good that James Franklin goes the way he does, because my initial thinking would be, man, hire within, because these guys have it rolling. I mean, these last 2 years, yep, the Oregon game was not not a great moment for Penn State defense, but overall, this has been a really good couple of seasons. And the folks in-house know the personnel and have a good feel for it and all of that. But James Franklin has shown a proclivity. And listen, I think if Franklin does hire Poindexter, it ought to give you a lot of faith that, man, like Poindexter has really proven in the room, you know, the interview room with Franklin and just over the last couple of seasons that, yep, he's ready and James Franklin has all kinds of faith in him. My guess is that they'll go with somebody that has big-time experience. And I still won't be surprised, Jim, if it's somebody that has had coaching experience and maybe some names. I know the UMass guy has been mentioned. I'm just wondering if there's not a MAC coach or somebody else out there that nobody's even mentioning right now that is in the mix here as well. And again, it's an important hire. I'm certainly willing to discuss it. I just, at the end of the day, I have a lot of confidence that James Franklin is going to make a really good hire and that it's going to be a hire that allows Penn State to continue on the path toward, you know, at least making a run again at the national championship next season.
I'm with you. I do feel confidence there. And again, using what we've learned about the coaches that he's brought in previously, I find it interesting you brought up the idea of perhaps somewhere a current head coach would want the coordinator position. I'm not sure a few years ago we would talk in those terms, but that seems to be more and more the case now for a couple reasons. Just the pressure with NIL and the portal and things at head coach. And the other part to it is a coordinator at this level adds to the resume.
Yeah, big time. And I think, again, I'm reading with intrigue and I'm thinking about all of the possibilities with all of the stories, but there's also a part of me that's just like, I'll bet we end up getting a name that not many anyway are discussing right now. And I obviously could be completely wrong about that. And a lot of the names that are being discussed, I for one, would be very happy to get just about any of them.
Yes, and the fact is, as important as the coordinator can be, it starts with the players, and the number of talented players that are coming back who are saying they want to run it back again has been really impressive, and that's what I want to get to yet in the rest of the program, Jeff, so be ready for that when we get back. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He is Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking Penn State's offseason here. And Jeff, I do want to get to a lot of these announcements that are being made by the players. A handful are saying they're going to the NFL. A handful are going to the portal. But a good number of them are ready to come back, run it back again. But I can't help myself, Jeff. I really can't. I got to hit you up on one other item. And I just read this morning. This is my Paul Feinbaum quote of the day. And again,
I'm trying to get my blood boiling.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because I'm thinking I'm going to get salty Jeff, which I love. I love that. Okay. So here's the quote from Paul Feinbaum. Let's be honest. James Franklin can't win a big game. He didn't do it this year. He's not going to do it next year. He's not going to do it any year. That's just who he is.
There's a couple of things about that, Jim. One is none of us know what the future holds. I'm going to go back for... There was a short period where I was a sports producer at KDKA in Pittsburgh. And at the time, Jerome Bettis did a talk show, and I produced that, an hour-long show, I forget, Tuesday or Wednesday nights. And we had a regular caller who called in and said, did not like Bill Cowher, and Bill Cowher doesn't do this, and he will never win a Super Bowl. And he and I would talk a little bit off the air, and I'm like, you might be right. Like, I'm not going to sit here and guarantee you, but the idea that Bill Cowher can't win a Super Bowl to me is preposterous. I think there's a lot of coaches that are capable, and some of them never do. And there's a variety of reasons for that that don't have anything to do with actual coaching ability. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you guaranteed James Franklin will win a national title. It is hard to win a national championship. That is a really difficult thing. There is one team, one coach each season that gets to do that. And there are, some programs that have more invested than Penn State does, that are more consistently getting more elite talent than Penn State is, et cetera, et cetera. So, but the grand proclamations just always crack me up, that this guy can never do that. I guarantee you this. BS. You don't know. And even if you end up being right, you're not right because you actually knew it. You're right because, yep, the circumstances played out in that way. And I just always cracks me up, the doubting anybody. And James Franklin has to be using that as fuel. Drew Aller has to be using the comments. If you're competitive and you have pride in what you're doing, this stuff, it does eat at you. But again, you need to be strong enough to know how to use it. And, I think James Franklin has been waiting these last couple of years. He desperately wants that point that finger in the camera moment where I told you so, and all you idiots that were out there. And I think he'll clean it up a little bit, but I think
I'm not sure he will.
You might be right. I think the underlying message will be clear. And I hope for his sake, I really do, and for Drew Aller's, that this is the great story of redemption in 2025 that I think it very well could be. Feinbaum's trying to make headlines, and that's fine. And again, you can obviously say anything you want. The other thing that just amuses me about that is, well, he can't win a big game. Well, what about SMU and Boise State? Well, those aren't big games. I define what I determine a big game is, and two playoff wins are not big victories. Well, I mean, that is, to me, patently absurd. Now, you can argue, all right, is it, a signature victory that proves that he can outcoach? Okay, maybe not. But to suggest that a playoff game is not a big game, to me, is just absurd. Clearly, those are big games. The other thing that just rubbed me wrong, and I forget the, I'm going to paraphrase, but it's like, and he's not even close in a lot of these games. Well, the games where he hasn't been close, either you've had like substantial injury issues, or there was a glaring gap in talent. It was a younger Penn State team against a veteran team that was filled with 4- and 5-star recruits when Penn State had 3- and 4-star recruits. I would argue more often than not, Penn State has been very competitive against teams that are substantially at an advantage monetarily within the program and talent-wise on the field. And you can look at it any way you want, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that James Franklin has proven he's the greatest coach in the country because he kept it close in some games with Ohio State. But I do think it's worth pointing out that actually those were pretty good coaching jobs, because going into a few of those games, most folks had that as Ohio State would win very handily. And they were ended up very competitive games. And I think, you know, you go back to that USC Rose Bowl or this year's Notre Dame game. I mean, Penn State didn't come out with the win. That's fair to point out. But to me, they were coin flip games, and it came down to execution, a play or two here or there by players. And sometimes, again, it pains you, but you do have to give the other team credit. Notre Dame went out and made a great interception. Drew Aller made a horrible pass and a horrible decision. That's sports. It's life. And you move on. And again, there's no guarantee. Penn State could end up same position, same results next year. That could happen. But I think, you know, the shared experience of this year, the shared lessons of this season, I think are going to benefit this program in those big moments next year. And I do think Penn State will get over the hump and at least get to a title game next year. And just one final thought on Finebaum. There's no acknowledgement there that Penn State did take. And it's clear, I mean, anybody that is honestly assessing this season realizes Penn State did take that next step. Not the final step, but they took the next step. James Franklin got his program to be one of the final four playing. That hadn't happened before. Well, that is a step. That is a significant step forward. And to me, that's undeniable, even though I think Paul Finebaum is denying it.
Hold on just one second for me, Jeff. I'm making a note here to myself. Whenever I need some filler on the show, just give Jeff a Paul Finebaum quote. And there you go.
Yep.
So, okay, I've got the note written down. There's a lot there to unpack that I want to respond to. I think the one winning the big one, winning the national championship, do you know how many current college football coaches there are who've won a national championship?
That are active right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it three?
Well, I got Kirby, Dabo, and who else?
Oh, maybe it is just well, Harbaugh's gone. Yeah.
Saban's gone. Jimbo's gone. Yeah. Orgeron's gone. And, you know, some of those names tell you that even winning the national championship doesn't guarantee you're going to be around much longer. So if I just say, you know, for all however 120, 130 head football coaches in college, if I'll say, hey, they'll never win the big one, I'm going to be right 98% of the time.
Yep.
That's the first thought. The second thought is, how often have there been coaches who eventually win a national championship, but the same thing had been said about them? Remember, you know, they actually called it like dabbling it, losing a game you're not supposed to at Clemson till he got over the hump. Jim Harbaugh, many people thought he was going to lose his job before he won it all, Jeff. And, you know, I'll give you one from another sport, but I think here in Pennsylvania, especially on the eastern half near Philly, we'll realize this one. How about Jay Wright at Villanova?
Yeah.
You know, for many years, that was the comment about him. And right now, you know what? Who's been said they can't win the big game? Ryan Day. And guess what? Next Monday, he will or can, and I think he will, completely changed the narrative. And that's a guy who literally a month ago, you had half the Buckeye fans asking for his scalp. They wanted him out because he couldn't win the big game, Jeff. So I think that kind of narrative, maybe it gets you a lot of clicks, but I don't buy into it at all. Now, with James Franklin, and I just wanted your comment on this. I've mentioned it before. I don't know if I have with you. Every time he's lost to a top five team, he's been the underdog. It's not like he's been the favorite and lost. Now, last week's game against Notre Dame, I know the spread was changing as we got to game time. I think it's more a toss-up game gambling wise, and it turned out it played out that way as yep. Very much a toss-up game. If I do have a question about James Franklin, and I will go back to some of those Ohio State games, it's having the double-digit lead in those games and still losing. We saw that against Ohio State where he had double-digit leads in the fourth quarter and couldn't hold on. Even this year, he was up 10-0, and they still lost. He had a 10-0 lead and in many ways dominated that first half, and they still lost. So I don't think of that as so much not winning the big games, but in-game being able to hold on to some of those leads.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think sometimes you do have to give the other team credit, and they make some adjustments, and it's a little easier to make the adjustments when you're trailing. Now, the in-game adjustments during the second half of like Notre Dame or in a couple of those Ohio State games, I'm with you. I think there's fair criticism there about, man, you've got to be able to make some more adjustments to give your team its best chance to win. But largely, again, I think Notre Dame did a good job of changing things at the line of scrimmage in that particular game. And, I think it had less to do with coaching in that particular game than it did with just a lack of execution in a couple of spots. And again, it wasn't like a complete breakdown in execution, just a couple of key spots.
And when it's a last second field goal, you know there's a lot of different plays that could have turned on. All right, that's it for quarter two. Lots more to talk about when we come back. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three of our show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. And Jeff, just one quick side question here before we get back to Penn State and all these players returning and the NIL and portal and all of that. We've got upcoming the college football championship game on Monday. It's Ohio State and it's Notre Dame. I don't want to ask you who's going to win the game, although if you want to tell me your prediction, that's fine too. Here's my question. Who are you going to be rooting for?
I have been struggling with that all week. I don't know. Goon says he has an easier time rooting for Ohio State than I do. I don't know. I get the conference thing, and I like Marcus Freeman. I just despise Notre Dame, though. And part of me, listen, I respect, I don't know that I'd go so far as to say I like Ryan Day, but I really do respect the culture he's created there. And I think he has done clearly a remarkable job of managing a roster that, yes, loaded with talent, but also loaded with egos. And by the way, a coaching staff that I think is loaded with egos. And I think that's a bigger challenge than maybe some of us would like to let on. So I respect what both coaches have done and are doing. And I guess I grudgingly respect both programs for the success they're having this season. I really don't think I can openly root for either one. And I don't know what result would make me happier. I really don't. I am struggling with this one. This is like a Ravens Cowboys Super Bowl for me. I absolutely despise the Ravens to my very core, but the Dallas, like the history with Notre Dame runs deep for me. But really, it does for Ohio State. I mean, I go back to the late 70s and, you know, the big win, the shutout over Art Schlichter, for crying out loud. So I honestly, I don't know. I don't. I think I'm just going to sit back and watch it without any rooting interest. And I don't know that I'm going to be especially happy with either team's ultimate win and national title here. It's a tough spot to be in.
So you don't answer my question. That's okay, Jeff, because I understand the quandary. A couple points, though. Art Schleister? Oh, my gosh. When's the last time I've heard that name? You are really old. That's my first thought. Number two, talking about Notre Dame, Ohio State, yes, it's impossible to really sit down and root one way or the other. But I'll tell you, I know there's that Ohio State is the Big Ten team, and I kind of, for the first time in my life, that matters to me. And I think it's because of people like Paul Feinbaum and the rest of the guys at ESPN who've been lobbying for the Southeast Conference. So I think Ohio State winning the game would mean something that way. The other thing with Ryan Day, and I don't know if I'm rooting for him individually as much as I'm kind of just rooting for the redemption story. That yeah. All those Ohio State fans who just a few weeks ago were all over him, to me, that's a fascinating story, that redemption story. And it's one that I think Penn State fans could hang on to next season when Oregon shows up on your doorstep to play a game early in the season. You know what? It's going to be the same redemption story, especially for James Franklin and for Drew Aller.
I'm with you on all of that. And I also, the conference thing is like, I understand intellectually why Ohio State makes more sense to me to be pulling for. I don't know that I can honestly, openly do it. And the other thing, I'm with you on the redemption story for Ryan Day. And there is part of me that would like to have that. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, so what you're saying is, yeah, take that, Ohio State fans. You did win a national championship that you now get to celebrate. Like, I don't there's something about that, and I don't know how you get the redemption for Ryan Day without that. But, like, fans shouldn't be the ones that benefit here, and they obviously will be. And I don't know. Again, maybe that's my biggest struggle is – that those fans have been so ridiculous with Ryan Day, and now they're going to be forced to celebrate him. And yeah, part of me is like, yeah, you know, that shows you what kind of an idiot you are, but they still get to go celebrate a national title.
In fact, the storyline might be more fun to see the another U-turn from the Ohio State fans. That bum, he can't win the big game yet. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about actual news with Penn State and the players. And Jeff, as you mentioned, a lot of these players are coming back. They want to run it back again, which is fantastic. But at the core of this has to be NIL in a general sense. You know, a couple years ago, a player couldn't make money technically, legally, as a college football player. So the decision, as much as they might want to come back and as much as the fans wanted them to come back, the only logical thing for them to do in their own best interest was to declare for the NFL draft. That has changed, but I also think it's interesting how Penn State is choosing to approach NIL, which seems to be more about retention than in bringing in outside guys.
Yeah, having proven talent that you know what you have and you feel obviously good about, that does make, to me, more sense if you're able to retain them. Although, how dare you suggest that these guys are doing it for anything other than the love of dear old state and an allegiance to my alma mater. How dare you suggest that? Yeah, listen, I think it's smart. And again, I don't know that it's necessarily going to be the same every year, but I think this circumstance with the talent that Penn State had this past season and potentially could have and now will have next year, right? It makes sense. Like, why would you make wholesale changes and spend a lot of money on guys who aren't familiar with your system, don't know the culture? And again, you can get guys up to speed. Penn State did that in a handful of cases. We'll do it in a handful of cases again next year. But yeah, to me, this is just a wise use of money, whatever money's floating around there. And I think it's going to literally pay dividends for the program next season. And, you know, the other part of that is then next year, you know, maybe you do have a little more money to go out and now you're a more attractive program because you get to the national title game or you win a national championship. And now more people are on board with, yeah, that's a place I want to go. Because now I know that I can achieve the ultimate objectives. And, you know, obviously Penn State's track record of putting guys in and, in the NFL and guys who then go on and flourish in the league is substantial as well and significant. And so, you know, it just feels like Penn State is riding a wave of momentum right now. And to me, it's just a very smart use of the money, whatever money that is. And I don't know exactly what the, you know, the figures are that are being floated around, but obviously it's substantial to keep the, some of these core guys together for another run.
Well, you jokingly said about, are they coming back for any other reason than loyalty to dear old State? And I get it. And I don't think they would all be coming back if there wasn't NIL. But I also do think, Jeff, that these are players who've been here, were recruited by James Franklin and his staff, have been here for several years. And I think they like being here. I think they like their teammates. I think they like their coaches. And I do think loyalty to dear old State may be the tiebreaker in a lot of these situations.
Well, and to that end, Jim, do you have any doubt that some of these guys could get more lucrative deals elsewhere? Because I don't. A guy like Nicholas Singleton, and again, I don't know the figures here, and I'm not saying I'm right about this. I find it hard to believe that Penn State, you know, just across the board is paying top dollar for all of these guys. So, yeah, I mean, I do – listen, they want to cash in on the opportunity, but do I think they're driven by that alone? No, I do think there's an allegiance to the university, to the coach, but I also think there's a strong allegiance to one another. I mean, I do think this is a tight team in that class in particular – with Drew Aller and company. Like, that is, I think they knew they had something special when they came in. I think they've seen it develop and foster, and they have fed off of each other. And I think that the bitter disappointment walking off the field at the Orange Bowl, you know, again, I don't know that they all got together and said, all right, who's with us? Like, we need to finish this off next year. Maybe I don't know whether that did or didn't happen, but I do think collectively there is that feeling like, man, we have a chance. We could still do this. And yeah, now there's an opportunity to line our pockets a bit in the process. But yeah, let's come back together. Let's see if we can finish the mission here and stake out an even more special place in Penn State history. And I do think that is legitimately a driving force for a lot of these guys.
And I think Drew Aller as the quarterback, him making that announcement early, I think helped a lot of the other players. And I just I have to believe Nick Singleton and Catron Allen had a discussion. Jeff, what do you think that discussion was like?
You know, that would be very interesting because they both obviously have NFL aspirations. And I think, you know, part of the discussion had to be, do you see who we are going to have blocking for us again next year? Because, man, that offensive line was terrific this year. Jim, this could go down. I mean, this line next year, I really think could rival that 94 offensive line, which to me, you know, that and the 82 line are the greatest lines, at least in my lifetime, in Penn State football history. And I think next year's line has a chance to be right there with those guys.
I agree with you. All right, Jeff, we got one more quarter to go. Stick with us. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. And Jeff, when we finished up quarter three, we were talking about some of these guys coming back. And I asked you specifically about Nick Singleton and Catron Allen and what that conversation was like. And of course, again, you didn't answer my question, but that's okay. That's okay. You brought up another, perhaps even more interesting topic, which is this offensive line and how good it was this year. And I'm going to talk specifically, though, over these last five games, when it was the conference championship game against Oregon, the playoff games that they won, and even, you know, the game that they lost against Notre Dame, how special those two running backs were, because it felt like this was the first time all season we saw them both healthy. And the performance of the offensive line and the opportunity to run that back again, literally run it back, it has got to be very tempting for those two guys. And I think somebody's got to figure out a way to a marketing thing for those two players together. Okay. That just seems to be, to me, that would be a real winner. But let's talk specifically about the offensive line. It starts at center, Nick Dawkins, who really waited a long time for his turn, has said he is coming back. I think of that as kind of that starting point for this offensive line.
I do too, just from a leadership standpoint. I mean, I think he is as or more respected than any single player in that locker room. I mean, he and Dom DeLuca, I think, just because of their patience and their willingness to, again, to buy into the program, bide their time, and then really take advantage of the opportunity when it presented itself. I think those are special guys to have. And with Nick in particular in the offensive line, I just think, again, he's one of those glue guys. And I think the fire that he has is just infectious. And I think, you know, inevitably has to bleed over to the rest of the guys on that unit. And, you know, I do think we saw, I think it was a good offensive line from the get-go, but I do think we saw it get steadily better. And I think since the Ohio State game, they really became a physical force out there on the field. And I think with another year of, again, experience, being able to communicate with one another, and, you know, another year in the weight room, another year of training, all of that. I mean, again, it's why I do think this has a chance to be a really, really special unit.
And, you know, between segments, we were talking about it a little bit. You know, we have people like Cooper Cousins coming up, who everybody thinks is going to be a tremendous player. Javon Williams is another guy with so much potential at tackle. And you mentioned it too. A guy like J.B. Nelson coming back,
yeah,
just means so much to the depth of this unit.
It really does. And I think it speaks, again, I keep talking about the buy-in that the players have. And to me, that is just, it was such a key component to Penn State taking that next step and winning some playoff games and being one of the final four standing this year. It is, again, that camaraderie on the team as a whole, But I think it was maybe best exemplified by that offensive line, where you had injuries to different guys at different times, and you had players step up. And it's not that everything always went smoothly and that there weren't guys that had some matchup problems here and there in particular games. It's that they figured out a way to overcome it. And I think those guys that did have a tough game here or there learned from it, made some adjustments with the help of the coaches. And I thought, again, across the board, we just saw clear improvement. But the fact that you have a J.B. Nelson volunteering to come back, yeah, I want to be part of this again, knowing that it is very unlikely anyway that he'll be a starter next year after all the time he's put in. To me, that speaks volumes, again, about the culture, the team-first mentality. And I also think that the really the sense of purpose that these guys have, that it is something bigger than themselves. They're trying to carve out a special place for the team in the history of the program and really in the history of college football.
The guys that have yet to make a decision, or at least at airtime that we're recording this, Jeff, Vega Ioane, Drew Shelton, Nolan Rucci, I don't want to assume anything, but I would think those are three guys who would lean more to coming back than moving on.
I would think so, too. And again, the position they're in now, Jim, is that even if all three, and I will be bordering on shocked if all three say, nope, none of us are coming back. Even if that were the case, to me, this offensive line is in such good shape now for next season. Obviously, if you can get all three back or even just one or two, again, the depth along that offensive line, the experience depth, the proven depth on that line, I don't know that there are many teams. I mean, I haven't sat down and analyzed all of the college football offensive lines across the country. But again, if two of those guys come back, I can't imagine that there's a line that can match Penn State's experience combined with the skill level that we saw, you know, toward the end of this season. So I'm with you. I instinctively, it feels like all three would want to come back and be part of this with the contributions they made this season and kind of the legacies that they have a chance to leave both individually and as part of a team that clearly now has a chance to do something very, very special.
Talking about the returning quarterback, the returning running backs, the guys returning on the offensive line, I don't want to ruin that feel-good thing we've got going here, Jeff, so I'll set wide receiver aside and talk. How about going to the other side of the ball, defensive line, having both Zane Durant and Denai Dennis Sutton returning is just huge for that group.
It is, Jim, and again, I think you're talking about leadership, you're talking about proven experience, and with both of those guys, I mean, a chance to be among the very best at their position in the country next season. And that is a wonderful place if you're looking for a defensive coordinator to start as your selling point, is, again, across the board, the talent you have coming back. But those are a couple of literally big pieces to the puzzle for the defense next season.
It really is. And you already mentioned Dom DeLuca coming back at linebacker. Were you surprised that Kobe King isn't coming back?
Not terribly. I mean, I would have loved for him to come back. And truthfully, much like Kalen King, I think it would have benefited him individually to come back. I think having another good year where he was able to build upon what he did this year would have helped him in terms of his future. But again, I certainly don't begrudge anybody wanting to go out and pursue their dreams. And, you know, we had been hearing, it's another one of those where I don't think there's any acrimony on either side, but I don't think I don't think there's anybody in that Penn State staff or in that locker room that's thinking, man, we could have made a run at the national title next year, but with Kobe King out of there, That's not going to happen. Again, when you look at the young talent they have coming up at linebacker, the fact that DeLuca is back, the fact that Rojas is back, again, would your preference be that you had King back? To me, yes. Do I think it's a devastating loss that he won't be back? I don't.
Going back to the offensive side of the ball, tight end, obviously, Tyler Warren is moving on. But is there any other position that you have less concern about over the next several years? And what's interesting to me is, and we haven't gotten an announcement from Dinkins yet.
Yeah,
I hope he does come back. Luke Reynolds showed something as a true freshman already. And everyone has forgotten that Andrew Rapoplier, he was supposed to be the next guy up. Not Luke Reynolds, but hey, we'll take them both.
Absolutely. And I think Rapoplier, if he is healthy next year, again, Reynolds and Rapoplier, regardless of Dinkins' decision, and I'm with you, man, I'd love to see him come back, because I do think that gives Penn State three tremendous options at tight end. And I think there's some different things they can do, even if they don't get the receiver spot completely figured out, with those tight ends and kind of the different attributes that they bring along, again, as we keep talking about with the offensive line and the running back. So, to answer your original question, there is not a position group that I'm less concerned about than I am tight end. Offensive line would be close behind it now, but yeah, they are stocked and ready to go with the tight end.
The other one, I like the announcement being made together, was the special teams group are all going to be back. The punter, the field goal kicker, the kickoff kicker, the long snapper, the punter, they're all coming back. I think that gets overlooked, but having that experience there, I'll take it, Jeff.
I've been saying the same thing this week, is I get all of the proper enthusiasm for the returnees on both the offense and the defense. But I think quietly, this is actually one of the bigger gets, if you will, for Penn State in this offseason, because Riley Thompson overall has been an exceptionally good putter. Couple of punts he'd like to have back, no doubt about it. But Tyler Duzanski is terrific as the long snapper. You and I got to know them a little bit, and they're also both just really good
guys,
fun guys, and I think great for the locker room. I wish they would go out and find a bigger, like a 300-pound place kicker for the kickoffs. But I guess in the meantime, Gabe Nwosu will do. But yeah, listen, I think it's big that all those guys are coming back. And, it just feels like everything, is in place now, for this team to make a very serious run at the national title next season.
And oops, we're out of time before we could talk about wide receivers, Jeff. How about we do that next week? Who knows? Maybe by then we'll have another portal receiver coming in. It does feel like they made a conscious effort to turn that room over completely. And I do want to, next week, I'll ask you about the wide receiver coach too. In the meantime, this show, it's over. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.